Episode 1205, The Criterion Challenge, High and Low.
Or Heaven and Hell as it is in the original Japanese.
Oh, I didn't know that. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono. We're back.
We're back.
Talking about a great movie and then a little bit about a not great movie.
Yes, and I didn't even watch the not great one. I'm glad you told me because my time has been limited in the last week and I didn't have time to watch the remake. But I am interested in hearing about it maybe after the music.
Yeah. But High and Low.
My first time seeing it. How about you?
I think second or third time seeing it. I love it. It's a fantastic Kurosawa movie. Most of his stuff is samurai, so that's a little different. But yeah,
absolutely, my first time seeing Kurosawa that wasn't samurai. I'm trying to think of, I've seen from him, I'm just going to try off the top of my head, and you tell me if I miss anything. Seven Samurai.
Yep.
Is Yojimbo the first one of that series?
Yes.
There's two.
Yep.
Ron? No.
You have not seen Ron. You've seen Rashomon.
Rashomon, that's right. Yeah. Okay. I think that is
Throne of Blood.
Oh, Throne of Blood, of course. That's the last Criterion Challenge. Exactly. What we did.
And how high and low.
And high and low. So I've seen quite a few, I guess.
Well, yeah.
How many does he have? This is library, though.
It's extensive. Bigger, but yeah, I mean, in terms of like the great ones, you should definitely see Hidden Fortress, you're missing.
I watched Hidden Fortress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did see that. Not,
well, that's good.
I mean, within the last few years, I don't remember it well, but I did see that. What else?
You definitely need to watch Ron.
Okay.
And Kagamusha, those are probably the two other big ones. He's got a bunch of other movies, but if you think of his major work.
Just looking at his letterbox, apparently there was one called Dreams from 1990. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Is that a good one?
It's good. It's more vignettes than...
I'm very interested in Sanjuro, and it's nowhere to stream right now.
Oh, it's probably on HBO.
It's not. It's nowhere to stream. So, all right. Let's talk about this one, though. So, not Samurai. How unusual was that for him as a director? I don't know much about him as a person or a director.
It's a little atypical. Like, he worked mostly in there, but, I mean, he has non-samurai movies. I think his most famous work is Samurai, but he has other movies that aren't, so it's not unheard of, though atypical.
Well, listeners, maybe we're just going to some spoilers. Hopefully you've watched it. We recommend it. It's on HBO Max right now as we record. So go watch us. Let's just be able to talk about it in full. So I gave a 4.5.
It's a 5.
What made you recommend it, and what do you like about it so much?
Well, I mean, recommend it. It's Kurosawa. It's him doing something a little bit different, but he's doing it really well. If you like that kind of crime genre of movie, it's very interesting. I think it's very stylish. Toshiro Mifune is one of his go-to actors who's in a lot of stuff, and so it's fun to see him in a little bit of a different role. I think that part of what is fun with crime movies is when things go wrong, and here things go wrong in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
So like, especially the first half of the movie, there's so much back and forth, and then you don't know who the kidnapper is, but you know they can see him, and you don't know how to say. All of these different elements are just so fantastic. It's actually based on a novel by Ed McBain from his 49th Precinct series, which was a big influence on The Wire as well.
Oh.
So it's based off of it was originally set in New York. The novel's called King's Ransom. I've read a handful of Ed McBain. I don't know if I've read that one or not.
Man, the adaptations all over the place.
Yeah. 'Cause
you're saying like, books in New York, over to Japan, and now the Japanese version is brought back over to America.
Spike Lee, yeah. So, I think that too. It's the two halves of the movie have very different feels to them, and that's a unique aspect of it.
Let's talk about it. How would you describe both of the halves? It's been just a couple weeks since I watched.
It goes to the title, whether you call it High and Low or Heaven and Hell, is that it's meant to get that juxtaposition between the luxury of the first half being almost entirely set in this mansion, and then the second half descends literally to the streets.
Okay, yes.
And now we're dealing with drugs and prostitution and murder. And it's also things are, outside of the circumstances happening, very comfortable up in the mansion. Yeah. They're sweltering and painful. You just feel the heat in the second half. And so it's like the kidnapper references some of that when he's on the phone calls, but you don't really feel it until the movie actually brings that home to you in the second half. It's really, really good.
Yeah. And just story flow as a whole, I just felt like it ties up everything so nicely at the end. It just had a very satisfying resolution to the story, because you couldn't quite tell, is it going to be like, you just couldn't quite tell where it was going to go.
It's a happy ending, but kind of not. And there's kind of, it's mixed, and you want it to be like, it can't, for this movie to be satisfying thematically, it can't just be the, you know, the Chishiro Mifune character, the wealthy executive, gets off scot-free, mm-hmm. and he doesn't have to pay any price to it. But so, you know, there's a, because there's social commentary taking place here too, which, by the way, you can feel the influence of this movie on Parasite from its use of visual space.
Totally.
Very
see that.
Much so. And
yes,
Bong Joon-ho has referenced it as
okay.
our influence on
You can
Parasite.
Absolutely see that.
Yeah, very, very much.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't pull it out, but that's a good one. I liked how the main character who you've been referencing, even within the story, has a transformation of sorts. Where
yeah.
he, at first, I was curious on, will this actually be sort of a villain of the story, even though he's the one that is also the victim.
Right.
But so I did like how that turned. I loved when the police became involved, all of that.
Really I love the scene where they're like, they have to hide.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, open your blinds.
Yeah.
And like, they have to get out of the way. And it's so good.
And just all the police scenes. That I
the
mean, those
subway
are my
scene.
Yeah, those are my favorite scenes of the movie. Yeah, the train you're talking
the
about.
The train is fantastic.
Yeah, I love that. And so,
it's like, how are they going to do this handoff? And he has to throw it out the window.
I have one critique, and maybe you saw on Letterboxd. I just think it could have been tightened a little bit. I loved it. I'm only praise to give to this movie, other than it just felt like some scenes could have been shortened. Like, it just, I think the movie went a little too long. It's 2.5 hours long, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is a little long.
But and the story is flowing, but just sometimes it's like, okay, I think we get the idea here. Let's move on. But they don't move on.
So if I wanted to give a defense of it, which I do because I love the movie, and I, you know, it's a mild critique. You know,
yeah,
4.5 is a good score. I think if I was to get inside Kurosawa's head and like, what's he doing? Because you're right, some of the scenes, especially in the second half, do go on a longer time. I think he's trying to make you feel the location.
Yeah.
Like, he wants you to feel the environment of the second half. And if that's more effective by making you linger in it, maybe that's what he's trying to get across there.
Okay.
By having those scenes go on a little longer than they normally would.
Yeah. It might have also just been that I wasn't locked into the exact pacing. Like, it felt numerous times like, okay, I think we might be heading towards a resolution. And then I look and see how much time is left. And it's like, there's an hour and a half left still.
Well, yeah, and
I'm exaggerating, but yeah something like
that. But that's because of the nature of the story that it has this halfway. Because it's like, it does resolve. Like, they get the kid back halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
And so things are, but the point is the dual nature of
it. Okay. Yes. So, highly recommend. Go check it out. I'll hit the music so you can talk about this other one, unless you have more you want to say about this.
No, I also highly recommend it. I think it's maybe a little lesser known in Kurosawa's work, but it's worth watching.
All right, listeners, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiVoro.
Everyone, Sapper Christian signing off, and now we're going to learn all about this. It's a 2025 version, right?
Yeah, it just came out.
And it's over on Apple TV Plus, I think. And it stars Denzel Washington.
And it's directed by Spike Lee, who's not a bad director.
Yeah, well, tell me some movies that he's directed.
The Right Thing,
okay.
Malcolm X, Bamboozled, Black Klansman.
Okay. Okay.
All sorts of stuff.
Yes,
But boy, does this movie suck.
Really?
Inside Man, which...
He did Inside Man.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Which is a pretty decent little thriller.
Okay, so tell me about it. Does Denzel play the rich executive?
He does. This movie's awful. Like, it's hard to describe how bad it is.
What's it called? Actually?
Highest to Lowest.
Yes, it's Highest to Lowest, which is even kind of a lame title. Just because they might as well have just called it High and Low again. Like, why not?
Highest to Lowest.
So there's a lot of things about this that don't work. I know you're a big...
I've just looked up in Letterboxd. Highest two lows with a number two.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
That's the icing on the cake.
I don't like that. Okay, keep going.
So, you watch all of these Hallmark movies.
I know.
How they have there's a feel to them, right?
Right.
In terms of color palette and style.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how to describe it exactly. I'd describe it as a very flat style. You know, there's nobody's using like a sepia filter in a Lifetime or Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yeah.
This movie's like that. The style feels like you're watching a Lifetime movie.
That means low budget.
It does. And so Denzel Washington plays this record producer. So you have rap music interspersed, but then there's actually a soundtrack. And it might be the worst soundtrack I've ever heard in my life. It feels like...
And you like that style, so it's not just that you're down...
No, it's not the rap that's the problem. Okay. The rap's fine. It's the orchestral soundtrack that's present in the rest of the scenes. Feels like you just downloaded, it feels like somebody forgot to take out the temporary score in this movie. Like, they downloaded royalty-free music, put it in the movie, and forgot to take it out. Full confession, I didn't finish it.
Really?
I got two-thirds of the way through.
You reviewed it? Did you say in the review that you didn't finish it?
No, I don't feel...
Who does Jeffrey Wright play? I'm looking at the cast list.
So he plays like the equivalent of the helper. Like, I think it's his chauffeur.
Oh, the guy whose kid gets kidnapped?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah, Jeffrey... The cast is so good.
Yeah, Denzel.
And I'm sitting there like in the opening credits, like, this can't be that bad. It's got Jeffrey Wright in it. It's got Denzel Washington in it. Spike Lee. Like, how bad could this be? Very bad. The part where the movie completely falls apart in almost a hilarious way for me is they do the train scene, right?
Yep.
Like
exactly the same, shove it out the window?
No. So Denzel has to climb into like the part in between the trains where it's going together, like where they come together. So he's standing on the side and then he throws the bag over.
Okay.
And somebody takes a video of him and it goes viral.
Okay.
And so then they show the footage of like the TikTok of him out there. It reminded me of the War of the Worlds that we watched, where you're watching like this cheesy TikTok video of what's supposed to be a serious moment in the movie. But the other part that's just great, and this was genuinely funny, is the cops, like, they have this elaborate kind of handoff thing. So the handoff of the money is a little bit more elaborate in this movie so that they can have an action scene. Action in heavy air quotes here. So they do like a switch where they have two guys dressed identically. One of them has the backpack with the money. Another one has a backpack with, not the money in it. So the cops, of course, wind up chasing the wrong person. So there's this chase scene and they go through a crowd and then they head down this long staircase. And it is the slowest descent of the staircase. It's like the actors were worried about tripping, but you could usually you're going to shoot that in a way. Maybe you do quick cuts. So it makes it look like they're running faster than they are. They're going so slow down the staircase. It's really, really, really bad.
Wow. Okay. I'm glad that you let me off the hook.
Yeah.
I would have been disappointed.
It's awful. Okay. It's awful.
So listeners, one recommendation, one anti-recommendation.
I did learn too that High and Low has been remade multiple times, or at least the book King's Ransom. Like, there's a recent miniseries I think goes back to the original source material.
I think Mel Gibson was in a movie called Ransom.
He was.
Is that based on this?
No, it's not. Directed by Jan Howard. So let's see. King's Ransom, if I pull this up, is the novel. See if I can get to adaptations. So it was the episode of a TV series, 87th Precinct, in 1962, which was the year before Kurosawa's movie. Of course, High and Low and Highest to Lowest. And then it was adapted, and this completely fell under my radar, but on a miniseries directed by Steven Soderbergh for Max, which wasn't Max.
Wait, it actually happened?
Called Full Circle.
Does this exist?
It exists.
Okay.
It didn't get good reviews, but a 6-episode miniseries starring Claire Danes and Timothy Oliphant, Dennis Quaid. So I don't know. Maybe that's worth checking out. It got okay reviews.
Okay. Yeah, I see it here on Letterboxd.
And I think that was supposed to be a more of a direct adaptation. It's not riffing off of the Kurosawa.
Oh, yeah, because it's set in New York based on the original book.
Yes.
Yeah, 2023, so also rather recent.
So I guess there's multiple adaptations out there.
All right, listeners, that's all the talk about Highest to Lowest. And now I have one last thing for Ben, and then I think this episode's over. Ben,
yes.
I was watching...
Well, it's not. I have something for after the credits.
Or we're right now after. I think we already played the music, so we're after
Did
the
we?
Credits. Yeah, way long ago. So, Ben, listen to this.
Forgot about that.
As I've been... Just...
Oh, yeah, because this was a High and Low episode.
Yes, we've been... I've been personally just watching... through my HBO Max watch list like
now
crazy.
It's expired, right?
It's expired. It's okay. I'll get HBO Max again someday. But as I at some point I realized a lot of this is in French. And I just realized I watched an abundance of French related material.
Yeah.
I was thinking we should do an episode. And I have two potential titles for you.
Okay. Oui, oui.
No. Just stick with me here.
Okay.
I want to either call it France and France Adjacent or French and French Adjacent. The adjacent is Paris, Texas. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'll send you a list of everything French that I watched, including before we do this episode in the next couple of weeks, I'll watch this.
Oh, the three colors.
Yeah, the three colors that you gave me recently.
Which, yes, French kind of, but Polish director.
Okay.
But still, I'll count.
So I'll send you...
Actually, the Three Colors trilogy has both French and French adjacent, so it's perfect.
Oh, this is perfect, yeah. So what do you like better? Do you like going with the title France and France adjacent or French and French adjacent?
I think French.
All right, that's kind of okay. I think I agree with that. So I'm going to send you the list of movies I think qualify, and you tell me if I missed anything from my recent list. I'm talking about just in the last month, basically.
Okay.
It's going to be fun. So it'll be kind of like the Criterion Challenge, because last week, I didn't let you talk about this on the air, but you started bringing up the umbrellas of...
Cherbourg, which I was going to rewatch, and then I wound up watching Highest to Lowest.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll just send you my list of the movies that I think fall into this French and French adjacent episode, and then you can watch whatever you want from that
list. I
saw
you watched Mon Oncle, which you didn't like.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
We've liked other Tati movies.
Yeah,
so
like Playtime, I think.
Yeah, and then Monsieur Who Knows Holiday.
So, yeah, I don't know. It might have just been that I was just... watching through so many, and I felt the pressure of trying to get through it, I don't know. It might have been a me
Wages
problem.
Wages of Fear is French.
Wow. See? Look at all this. So, I don't think I would have even counted that. Maybe I would have, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
So, I'll send you what I'm thinking, and we'll go from there. So, what's your last thing here for tonight?
Are you familiar with the actor Connery? I don't mean Sean Connery. I mean, Neil Connery.
No.
Did you know that Neil Connery exists? This is...
I'm sorry.
Sean Connery's younger brother, and he starred, I think, pretty much his only acting role in a James Bond parody in 1967 called Operation Kid Brother.
Oh, this sounds great, because he is a kid brother, I bet.
It's supposed to be terrible, but it includes Bernard Lee, who played M.
M, yes.
Lois Maxwell, Moneypenny. I just learned about this yesterday. It is not good, from what I've heard, even as a parody. But maybe we'll have to watch this as part of our James Bond series.
We have to. Look at this picture. This is right. This is going to be great.
Operation Kid Brother.
Oh, it's available to stream for free on Prime.
Well, that's exciting.
I'm going to watch this immediately. Well, or should we wait till it lands? Or is this deep dive on Bond material?
Yeah, it's deep dive on Bond material.
I mean, do you want to wait till we get there naturally? Because no,
well,
we would have passed it.
We would have passed it.
Okay, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, I think we can just slip it in somewhere.
All right.
Yeah, it's supposed to not be good, but Neil Connery did not have as successful a career as his brother.
As his brother. I'm so totally
if
in.
If you click on him, let's see, he's got 4 credits. He has a bit part in something called The Body Stealers. He is in a Sean Connery documentary. And then he is in something from 2007, which also is a documentary on secret agents.
You know, I think we could watch. Yeah, do you ever want to, like, you see an actor and you're like, I can pretty much watch everything this person's in.
That depends. We don't know if The Body Stealers is actually available anywhere.
I just checked, and it is on Tubi.
Well, I don't do Tubi.
Just because of the commercials?
Yeah.
I don't even think there is a commercial-free option or ad-free. Yeah, all right.
It's kind of annoying.
Listen, there's so many good things happening and coming up in the future. So I'd say maybe next week we'll do the James Bond parody, and in 2 weeks... French Adjacent, and French and French Adjacent is the full title, so watch for that.
I think next week we're going to go see The Smashing Machine.
Oh, you're right. Oh, man. We've got a great couple of weeks coming up.
I'm excited for it.
All right, yes. Next week, our two interests collide.
Our worlds collide.
Martin Scorsese and The Rock.
No, Barry Safdie. Benny Safdie.
Oh, I thought it was a Martin Scorsese movie.
No.
Well, I was totally wrong. Oh, it's
A24.
Okay.
One of the Safdie
brothers. Is Scorsese involved at all?
Don't think so.
Because remember I was saying I wanted to watch through the Scorsese movies before The Rock's movie?
Oh, I don't.
I'm going to... This is the last thing.
Are you
thing.
Thinking of Raging Bull?
No, I've seen
that's
that.
Different.
I'm going to just quickly ask... what's his name? What's his first name?
Martin?
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to type quick. I'm going to say, is Martin Scorsese involved in the smashing
machine?
This
is a case
where
you should not trust whatever the Google AI tells you.
He is not involved. That's too bad. I was way off. All right, well, you're right. Benny Safdie, who did The Curse, I think.
Oh, he's The Rock's going to be in a different Scorsese movie.
Okay. Yes, so. I was just confused, I guess. All right, listeners, lots coming up. Smashing Machine movie review next week, then.
All right.
Well, that's all from here. So long, folks.
Should I give you one more movie recommendation?
Sure.
Actually, I have two more.
Okay.
One not serious and one serious.
All right.
The not serious one is I had another theater experience this weekend. Been going to the theater left and right.
Wow.
This one was the Gabby's Dollhouse movie.
Yes, you saw that with your daughter. I saw it.
Yes, and the crowd was better behaved than the previous two movies I went to. The other one, which I'm going to, and I have to send you the code for because I want you to watch it. Terrence Malick's A Hidden Life.
Okay.
Finally watched. Oh my gosh, is it good?
I do love him.
It's so good. It's a true story. It's wonderful, very moving. And here's my shame. Like, I love Terrence Malick. This movie's been out for 6 years. I just watched it. That's embarrassing. You know what's more embarrassing? It came out in December 2019, the same month as Cats. And I've seen Cats multiple times.
Wow.
And, yeah.
Okay, yeah, send it to me. I'll watch it.
All right, I will do that.
All right, listeners, thanks for joining us tonight, and goodbye.
Goodbye.